Blog Talk Radio.
Can't find the brain, can't stop your heart from hurting.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to pray one for another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, when we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. Hallelujah, Jesus.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Hallelujah. give the Lord a praise number. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
Praise be to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, you are love. You love me, Father, and I love you. As I love you more, Lord, I am also able to love my family and friends more. I will be your loving servant, Heavenly Father, today and throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
And answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no could I use to explain? Forever I'll trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love remains. Your glorious love overwhelms, overcomes. Your glorious love
remains.
Today is your day.
God had a plan.
miracles in your life.
Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from the Lord. You don't want to miss this message tonight. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204 at this time. I will play another selection, and after this selection, I will come with our devotional message. Amen. Praise God.
Come on, let the sound of worship be released from your lips tonight. Come on, raise it now. Oh, that's good. Y'all raise it with devotion.
You got it, babe.
Sing, you provide the spirit.
You provide.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Trust Me One Day at a Time. Chico. Oh. Praise be to God. Excuse me.
No, you don't belong up here. Yeah. Don't you ever let me catch you up here. Inside. Come on. Inside.
Praise be to God. Sorry about that. Little puppy getting into everything. My Lord. All right. Again, the title of this devotional message is Trust Me One Day at a Time. Yes, Lord. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 84, verse 12. And it says, O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. Praise be to God. And it says, Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. To God be the glory. And my third scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And it says, Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. To God be the glory. May the Lord richly bless the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, Trust Me One Day at a Time. This keeps you close to me, responsive to my will. Trust is not a natural response, especially for those who have been deeply wounded. My spirit within you is your resident tutor, helping you in this supernatural evidence. Yield to his gentle touch. Be sensitive to his prompting. Exert your will to trust me in all circumstances. Don't let your need to understand distract you from my presence. I will equip you to get through this day victoriously. As you live in deep dependency on me, tomorrow is busy worrying about itself. Don't get tangled up in its worrying webs. Trust me, one day at a time. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I believe in you, and I believe in your word. Help me to live in such a way that my actions validate my beliefs, and let the glory be yours forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So again, at this time, I will play another selection. Every praise belongs to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Praise
to our God. Come on, everybody, sing hallelujah. praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Come on, Everybody ought to celebrate the arms of God. Oh.
Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. In Psalms 23 and 4, and the CSB Bible says, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And the title of this message is Beyond Fear. A terrible storm rose quickly on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were afraid. Although they had witnessed many miracles, the disciples feared for their lives. So they turned to Jesus, and he calmed the waters and the wind. Sometimes we, like Jesus' disciples, feel threatened by the storms of life. When we are fearful, we too should turn to him for comfort and courage. The next time you find yourself facing fear-provoking situations, remember that the one who calmed the wind and the waves is also your personal Savior. Then ask yourself, which is stronger, your faith or your fear? The answer should be obvious. So, when the storm clouds come overhead and you find yourself being tossed on the stormy sea of life, remember this. Wherever you are, God is there. Two. And because he cares for you, you are protected. If a person fears God, he or she has no reason to fear anything else. On the other hand, if a person does not fear God, then fear becomes a way of life. Worry is a circle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. God shields us from most of the things we fear. But when he chooses not to shield us, he unfailingly allots grace in the measure needed. When once we are assured that God is good, then there can be nothing left to fear. Fear and doubt are conquered by a faith that rejoices. And faith can rejoice because the promise of God are as certain as God himself. Think about this. If you are feeling fearful or anxious, you must trust God to solve the problems that are simply too big for you to solve. Amen? Isaiah 41 and 10 in the CSB says that, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Joshua 1 and 19 in the CSB says, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In 1 Chronicles 28:20, in the CSB says, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He won't leave you or forsake you. Praise God. And Psalms 27:1 in the King James Version says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" May the Lord truly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, when we are fearful, keep us mindful that you are our protector and our salvation. Thank you, Father, for a perfect love that casts out fear. Because of you, we can live courageously and faithfully this day and every day. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now, at this time, I will play a selection, and then after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Okay, here it is.
I want you to open up your heart and let God's Spirit come in. Come on, say it. Pray.
Your anointing fall on me.
Anointing fall on me. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of John, and we're going to go to chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 17 through 47. Amen? That's the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 17 through 47. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, "But Jesus replied, My Father is always working, and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making him equal with God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Verse 21. For just as the Father gives life to those he raised from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge. 23. So that everyone will honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. But they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When the dead will hear my voice, the Lord, the voice of the Son of God. And those who listen will live. Praise God. Hear the voice of me. And those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life, given power to his Son. He has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised indeed. The time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. 31. If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me. And I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message. But I have a greater witness than John. My teachings and my miracles, the Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one he sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet, if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you cannot believe, for you gladly honor each other. But you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Yet, it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you, yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believe Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, who will you believe? How will you believe what I say? To God be the glory for the reading of his word. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Occasionally, people will say, I cannot accept anything by faith. I have to have reason for believing. Theology has sometimes been defined as faith-seeking understanding. No Christian would deny that we are saved by faith, but not by faith in faith. We respond to God's gift of salvation by putting faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of the world. Amen? Contrary to popular beliefs, Christianity is not based on blind faith. We have reasons for believing in Jesus Christ. Thus, there is such a thing as a responsible faith. Excuse me, a reasonable faith. The highest task a preacher of the gospel has is to proclaim Jesus Christ as God's Son. Amen? Given to us for eternal salvation. And then to ask for decisions from every hearer as to what they will do with that knowledge. At the end of Jesus' earthly life, the Roman governor, Pilate, asked the crowd, "What shall I do with Jesus?" Matthew 27 and 22. Essentially, that is the question every person must face. And there can be no half-hearted decision. For as our scripture reading makes clear, Jesus claims to be the Son of God who gives life to whom he will. John 5:21 in the RSV Bible. Amen. The Jews were ready to kill him precisely because they understood that he was claiming God as his father. In John 5:18, making himself equal with God, Jesus pointedly said, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." In John 5:24 in the RSV. The issue must be faced squarely. Either Jesus is the Son of God and we must praise him, or he is a liar and deceiver, and you are free, even wise, to walk away from him. If that radical choice shakes you, then you understand a little bit of what the Jews felt that day when Jesus would not back away from his startling announcement. And John 5:17 of the RSV says, "My Father is working still, and I am working." In John 5:22-23 in the RSV says, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Pantheists, those who find God in everything, or idolaters who create with their own hands gods for every occasion, would have no problem with what Jesus was saying. The God issue for them is very diverse and cheapened by its easy multiplication. But these men and Jesus himself were Jews. The Jews had come painfully to a bedrock conviction that in Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God is one Lord. They were strict, moderate monotheists who knew from their own history the awful results of idolatry. For Jesus to claim to be God's Son in a unique and unrepeatable way was either blaspheming or a miracle of the highest order. There could be no middle ground. And you will either decide to come to him and follow him as God's son, or you will deceive, or you will decide to walk away from him, rejecting his claim to be the giver of life. If you walk away, you will face the judgment God has placed in his hands. In John 5, 25 through 27. Jesus did not simply claim to be the Son of Man, a messianic title, and the Son of God, and expect people to believe it because he said it. John 5, 25, 27. He offered witnesses to the truth of his claim. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, we have come to seek you tonight. We are thankful that you have sought us first. We bring our offerings to you for your use and work. But we give to you in response to your already given to us. Seeking or giving, loving or finding, we are the tardy ones. First sought us and gave to us. You loved us before we could love you. And you found us before we found you. Accept, O Lord, our praise and our gifts. In love we bring both. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from John chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And my title for this message is, Either He Is or He Isn't. Amen. In John 5, 30 through 47, witnesses Jesus could call to establish his unique place as God's Son. Jesus presented three witnesses as evidence of the integrity of his claim. Amen? In John 5, 31 through 35, John the Baptist testified on Jesus' behalf. The power of this witness is the courage and integrity that surrounded John's ministry. Everyone knew he was a truth teller at whatever cost to himself. And you also find that in Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 through 4. In front of the crowds who came to hear him, he had not minced his words or sought to soothe. Like a hot iron, his words had pressed the weighty judgment of God down on the minds of the people. John had been the first to see and understand. In John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 34, in the RSV says, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the Son of God. And then John did what no other preacher I have ever known could do gracefully. He turned his congregation over to someone else. He said of Jesus in John 1 and 30 in the RSV, excuse me, ranks. He ranks before me, for he was before me. In John 3:30, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Praise be to God. In John 5:36, the mighty works Jesus did also bear witness to Jesus' authenticity. Amen? No magician could do the works Jesus did. He had turned water into wine and signify the new joy he was bringing to life in John 2:1-11. He had told a woman all about her life and given to her living water that brought a joy she had never known. In John 4:1-42, Jesus healed a man sick for 38 years. In John 5:1-9, he would free the multitude from a small shared lunch, He would feed the multitude from a small shared lunch in John 6:5-14. And he would raise a man dead for 4 days to life in John 11:1-44. Every mighty work was a sign that brought people into an awareness of God's extravagant love for them. These mighty works Jesus offered as a witness to the truth of his claim. In John 5:37-40, Jesus next cited the witness of the Father himself through the scripture. The messianic prophecies of the prophets were often used by early Christians, preachers, as evidence of Jesus' messiahship. But here, Jesus pushed back the traditional prophets to Moses, the lawgiver himself, the most important religious person in Jewish history. Jesus claimed Moses' witness in the scripture as God's witness to the truth of Jesus, claimed to be God's son. In John 5:46, and the RSV says, if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Amen. Jesus was the seed of the woman who would indeed bruise the head of the evil one in Genesis 3:15. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law in Matthew 5:17-18. Jesus sought to move the faith and worship of the people past the written word to the living word. Pass the scriptures to the one whom the scriptures bear witness to. He is the Savior in whom there is eternal life. John 5:24-39-40. And more can now be added to Jesus' claim. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Additional witnesses we can call forth today to establish Jesus' unique place as God's son. Amen. History. We have the advantage of 2,000 years of experience with the life and teaching of Jesus. The historical argument points to what it has meant to the world that Jesus lived among us. Decades ago, an anonymous poet wrote, he was born in an obscured village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he began an erratic preacher. He became an erratic preacher. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' life. There was a wonderful harmony in Jesus' life between what he taught and how he lived, what he said, and what he did. One of the awful hurts in a sensitive person's life is the difference between what he wants to be and what he is, between what he knows to be right and what he actually is able to do in Jesus. What he dreamed to be was what he said was true. He proved. Jesus said, a seed must fall to the ground and die if it is to live. And then he went to the cross and offered himself in death for us. What an awesome God we have. When he said you must love God as you love nothing else, he found that a loving and obedient heart would take him to the cross. And Luke 22 and 42 says, not my will, but thine be done. He said, you must love your enemies. As he hung on the cross dying, he prayed in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The ability to fulfill the vision, to live completely as our teachers, is an evidence worthy of your careful consideration. The church, the life of the church after the crucifixion of Jesus would lead one to believe Jesus was much more than an ordinary man. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, there would have been no impetus for the church to live. The disciples were defeated and disheartened until Jesus appeared to them after the resurrection to empower them and send them forth. The existence of the church, baptizing, observing the Lord's Supper, preaching the word, seeing lives change, is both an ancient and a contemporary evidence to the truth of Jesus' claim. To God be the glory. Your inner need. Each person's life is an open testimony to the reality of Jesus' claim. He offered to meet our deepest needs. Do you experience sin and brokenness as a part of your daily experience? Do you know the dark feelings of guilt, that rise not because somebody is trying to lay a guilt trip on you, but because you really are guilty. Do you know about coming to the end of the day and having no reason to live another day? Do you know how about loneliness and a need for love that is frustrated again and again by counterfeiters' imitations of real things? Are you afraid to die, not knowing what, if anything, lies ahead for you? Have you reached most of your goals in life, but are finding with some discomfort that the goals you have achieved may not have been worth what it has cost you to achieve them? If any of this description of human need touches you at the deep place of your life, then Jesus has come to touch and to heal you at that place. Jesus is the one who heals our brokenness, forgives our sin, removes our guilt in his own deep acceptance of us. Jesus is our hope that gives purpose to life. It is his love for us that makes us know we are important and valuable to God. He is our eternal life, who fulfills the living of life now, who gives direction in the setting of lifelong goals, and who escorts us through dying into the full and blessed presence of the eternal God. The scripture, if you have read the Bible very much, you know that the Bible knows you. The Bible knows what is true about you, people. I submit that if the Bible can be so right about people, it has an excellent chance of being right about God as well. And my conclusion of this message is, if Jesus is not God in the flesh, you are free to walk away. But if he is God in the flesh, you must believe or face the unhappy consequences of your unbelief. And John 5, 24 through 29 says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life, given power to his Son, and he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He either is or he isn't. You either will or you won't. You will either live or you will die. What will you choose? I urge you to believe Jesus and choose life. Amen. God be the glory. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me to obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into a good Bible-based church, so that you can further your walk with Christ. Amen. Praise God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24-25 from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our God, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I pray that this message tonight was a blessing and that you got something out of it, out of this message tonight. It's either he is or he isn't. God be the glory. You make the choice. Either you choose Jesus, or you choose evil. Amen? Praise God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. when I will come with a word from the Lord, and following the word from the from God will be our very own Barbara Amore with our poetry, and following the poetry will be our associate pastors Stephen and Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry with Talk in the Sanctuary. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful weekend, and happy Sabbath to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are not, but one day will must say, what must I do to be saved? So God bless you. Shalom. And we love you, and we thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another. And we are going to leave out on All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. Praise be to God. Amen.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Praise.
their praises bring you out right now. Nobody can get praise for God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.